All right, you ready?
Sure. Yeah, let's do this.
All right, let's dive in. All right, welcome to the Renegade HPG podcast. This is Travis Gardner, and my guest today is Daniel Bruins. Daniel is an illustrator and animator that has produced some incredible pieces of BattleTech artwork, including what I believe is the single most inspired piece of visual storytelling in the medium, Freehat, a MechWarrior film. We're going to be taking a deep dive behind the scenes of that production today and wherever else our mutual love of 31st century combat may take us. Daniel, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Glad to be on here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And so so what inspired me and certainly kind of connected me to you was that short film, all right, so Freehat. So I'm really interested in kind of just kind of the background, the history of it, and kind of, you know, if it was just you, if you had collaborators, and just kind of, you know, take me a little bit behind that. And for those that are listening, if you haven't seen that film, I will, if I can, link it up here so you can click, stop right now, go watch that. We're going to talk about it. I'll definitely put a link down in the description below. But tell me about that project and kind of, you know, what inspired it and kind of what the process was like.
So Freehat actually came about as a sort of like culmination point of the sort of previous project that I had been working on called MechWarrior Revival, okay, which had been at that point it was an animated trailer to like a potential sort of like online series that was going to be either published in partnership with No Guts, No Galaxy or like through their sort of channel. Mm-hmm. That itself was a spinoff of like in like late 2013, I had started putting out little comics of like events taking place within universe, basically taking matches of MechWarrior Online, mm-hmm, and just like putting some sort of like narrative flair to them.
Okay.
So like the first sort of comic of that was like this abandoned hunchback pilot who was cornered by like an Atlas and two cataphracts and had to like fight her way out of that using basically just like guts training and instinct and just trying to like fight down the whole idea of like just sheer panic of it, right? Mm. That was like basically a blow by blow play of like something that actually happened in a MechWarrior Online match. So it's like just doing that and like taking those up to the next step. That got the No Guts, No Galaxy guys popped up and said, hey, this is really cool. Can we, like, we want to host this on our website? And I said, wow, cool. There's a lot of people on here. Let's do this. did that. A bit later, like a couple of months later, they started coming into talks of they wanted to see if we could make like an online animated MechWarrior show, right? Mm-hmm. There was a second animator that was supposed to be working with me that he did a sort of like a MechWarrior Online sort of like a parody series.
Okay.
The name of it is escaping me at the moment, but it's absolutely fantastic and it's on the No Guts No Galaxy YouTube page.
Yeah, I don't know the name either, but I definitely know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like we were going to be like working on that thing. I ultimately ended up basically like making my own sort of like story, my own trailer after a while, and was told to, if we wanted to pursue anything further with this through any sort of like crowdfunding or Kickstarter campaign, to ultimately I would have to go and ask Tops for the rights to like make and distribute a BattleTech animated series. Top said no, so we have a trailer, and that was what we have, and it was a cool thing that now exists. So
yeah,
like at least we had that. A little bit later, I actually was contacted by just like a random fan that wanted to do an animated version of his poem. Like Fare Thee Well, MechWarrior, is about a soldier, a warrior that was like leaving his burdens and his troubles at like on the battlefield and like moving on to the next life, right? And that kind of like that poem was sort of like woven in between the creation of Freehat, the actual story of it, and sort of like basically driving the narrative of that film. Ultimately, I feel like we moved a little bit away from like taking the direct text of the poem itself and moving and just like using more of like the emotional or like thematic push of that, like of that work, in order to tell what was going to be the backstory for what would have been one of the main protagonists in the MechWarrior revival show.
Okay,
this was about a hunchback pilot. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a theme. This is the story of what happened to her and what happened to her father in the Ronin Wars for the Free Rosalhog Republic's just like war of essentially their like war of independence, right?
Right.
So this is supposed to be a sort of a story of like family lineage and sacrifice and what that really like physically, viscerally, what that actually meant and what that actually entails. So ultimately that's sort of like what we were going on. I was trying to capture the sort of like defiant spirit mm-hmm. of the people of Rosalhog who have been like under the Trigonus Combine's rule for how many hundreds of years and were never quite okay with it, and made that very clear, finally having a chance to do something about that, and having a role model, having a hero that you see fight against all odds and still lose, right? And then the last shot of that film is seeing the grown-up adult version of that kid that had been trying to throw a rock at a dragon.
Yeah.
And she turns around and she starts walking back towards her like rebuilt mech, and there are comets coming down from the sky because the clans are here and it's all going to happen again.
That's awesome. And it's, so you said, you know, it was kind of the lineage of her father. Is her father that hunchback pilot?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So there's a reason, like she gets dragged onto like onto the VTOL and she does not want to go.
Yeah, that explains a lot more about the emotion, of her kind of wanting to stay there and being there. You know, granted that someone saving your life certainly makes a connection. That does it too. Well, for those watching, I'd asked Daniel if he would be interested in kind of doing a little kind of director's commentary and kind of watch through. And so let's go ahead and set that up now. And you can kind of maybe take us through kind of, you know, frame by frame and kind of in, you know, some of the kind of creative side behind this. I think that would be very cool for the people watching.
Sure.
But let's kind of figure out how to get this.
Yeah, so I could just pull this up.
Perfect.
All nice and big. So what we have initially to start.
And so give people real quick, just maybe a little background in terms of, you know, why part of it's finished, why part of it isn't.
To be completely honest, a lot of why part of it is finished and part of it isn't is animation takes a lot of time and a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And quite simply, in autumn of 2014, I had just graduated from college and I was basically working full time and did not have like the physical capability of bringing this thing to the conclusion that I would have liked to see. But yeah. That's how life works. That's how a lot of it is something that like just has been pulling up like the last couple of years. That's how mental health works.
Yeah,
you know,
well, definitely. Well, as a fan, I can tell you that the impact is there. You don't those finishing touches weren't needed. So mission accomplished.
Well, thanks. And I think like to start out here, that music that's just basically what was going to be a temp track from Mass Effect 3 from Clint Mansell. We were going to go back in. I was just going to compose a new piece for that. And I think I'm in a better place to make something of that sort now. If we want to go back here, that I think is the idea and like that spirit of rebellion that I really want to try to capture with the film. Because we have in BattleTech we do have this idea of like dynasties and inherited power, inherited status is like it's a big part of the universe, right? It is a medieval setting.
Definitely.
And the thing that specifically the Free Rathalhag Republic speaks to me about is it's sort of in its own like small hypocritical way, it stands in defiance of that setting, of that like basic premise. Because like here we have like an actual what is supposed to be a functioning democratic republic. Who knows how long it would have actually lasted given the setting, but we won't know anyway. There's also something about just like these people were not ready for the one of the largest invasion forces that humanity had ever seen, and a lot of them still tried to fight really hard anyway because of it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to like capture that sort of desperation. Yeah, I know. A cat in the background. Yeah, and these were basically storyboards of what was going to be shown here.
Right.
That, if we want to go back, is I think one of the first finished versions of the film that we actually had. This is all done in an amalgamation of Adobe Flash, Photoshop, and then Blender for the 3D elements.
Okay.
So we have this sort of front sort of like moving plate of this like Draconis Combine mech warrior. Mm-hmm. It's a very stylized sort of like vision of this universe where like the Draconis Combine neuro helmets kind of look like samurai helmets, and it's a little bit insectoid.
It looks awesome.
The FRR guys have like the Viking nose piece, all that sort of fun stuff. If you notice, there's like basically the reflection of what he's seeing in that sort of visor. That's its own independent like moving piece, and it's like clipped onto his helmet here. So if that clip was like taken off, you'd be like this whole scene would extend like way out to the corners, and it's just been basically tacked into that. So this is a really good example of what Flash is supposed to do.
Okay.
As opposed to what we were trying to make it do. Flash is very good at taking still images and still shapes and moving them over each other, layering them and like creating effects with that. This, it is not quite as capable of doing. This is a fully modeled, textured, and animated 3D model of a dragon that was made in Blender. The scene was rendered out as a series of PNG images,
okay,
and then composited into Flash in order to get the rest of the sort of hand-drawn, I'm going to turn the playback speed down a little bit, to get the rest of these like hand-drawn missile trails and little glows and the skybox moving behind it, to get that all in. Each of those, like each little movement of the smoke here, and every, the background is its own like painted in image, but all of these missiles coming in, all of those individual trails were there. These sort of like explosion effects were all hand drawn frame by frame and then pasted into a larger, basically a larger sort of stage. And then we have a virtual camera that we're moving around inside of it in order to capture that sort of panning effect.
Wow.
Of these soldiers just not
having a good day.
Mechs don't do well against dudes. Don't do well against mechs.
Yeah.
So we just have this like sudden like explosion of violence. I think this was that shot of the dragon taking the rocket was the first. It was the first composite that we tried to do, and it was the first like, hey, this is a bit of animation that we can actually work on. So that dragon is its own thing. The missile trail is its own thing. The fire is its own thing. And then we just have like these big basically stamps of smoke sort of like slowly rising up, little sparks coming off of the dragon. Originally, in the initial of basically storyboard for this, this was supposed to be the King Crab that shows up later on. And instead of seeing the dragon, or instead of seeing the dragon smash through this building, the King Crab was supposed to just take a couple of machine gun hits, turn over, and then use those AC-20s and just level the building. Sort of actually what we see in MechWarrior 5 right now, where you shoot an autocannon and the whole building comes down. We decided that, one, I wanted to have a definitive, almost like a monster coming after this kid. And I wanted that to be consistent and persistent. I wanted this to be a single recognizable antagonist, a single recognizable enemy that doesn't get confused in this sort of like build-up sequence. On top of that, the King Crab basically just has, it has fewer points of articulation, and I wanted to see a mech punch a building.
Okay.
to be completely fair, like, there is something incredibly fun about the sort of like huge visceral motion of this gigantic machine pulling back, taking its little claw and just swinging it through something. I wanted to capture that as best I could.
Well, I think the dragon is so iconic for Kurita, for the Dreadnought Combine, and so that, you know, I think that switch just thematically, you know, was inspired in two ways for sure. Yeah, that's a great shot.
Yeah, so like all of those are individual drawings, and that we have a 3D render of that VTOL, and here we have, hey, look, more stylized Vikings.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Vikings. It's awesome. Obviously.
Yeah, I
love it.
I mean, because obviously you're in Rosalhag. Clearly, all of the military dudes are just gonna be like burly guys with Viking helmets and giant flowing beards, and they have like tankards of mead coming off of their belts. Because clearly, this is a realistic depiction of what the BattleTech universe is going to be like.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, I do kind of like push things a little bit, and I hope, for the most part, my audience seems to forgive me for it. This shot that's coming up here was directly inspired by 2014's the American Godzilla movie.
Okay.
Where you just have like this, there's this shot in the movie of like this gigantic monster looming out from the smoke. Mm-hmm. And it's like the second like big Godzilla roar of the movie. It demonstrates like the sheer like power and scale of this thing. So it was a shot that I really wanted to have in the film. And I had to fight really hard against Blender to get it, because all of this smoke is a 3D generated particle system.
Okay.
That it's supposed to like interact physically with the dragon model moving through it. It took about 3 days to render.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I must have, like, I'm sort of an amateur as far as like building and animating 3D in Blender specifically. Mm-hmm. Maybe I had something wrong with it. Maybe I just wasn't working with the best equipment, but this smoke, to get it to the density of like the particles that had to be used for it, to get a sort of like realistic look, it sort of ate my computer for a couple of days. I think specifically because I wanted that effect right there, where you can see part of the dragon coming through and the other parts not. In order to get that, you have to have a really dense layer of particles in the physical simulation, right?
Yeah.
Which means that it's just, you're just like, you're throwing computer power at the problem.
That's awesome. It's worth it.
And then we have that next shot of just a big rotating bit. This whole sequence the 3D like version of this has none of this rotation. It is just a straight shot of the camera looking up at this VTOL. The VTOL slowly flies by and it just sort of like gets hit and starts crumbling away.
Okay.
All of this motion, it was added basically later in Flash in order to like get that sort of like dizzying 3D effect, which later on we can, if we get to it, we could talk about like the further application of that work. So we have some hand-animated bullets, like autocannon shells, like the actual like firing.
Yep.
Smoke effects, explosions, stuff like that. I wanted to blend the 3D elements and the 2D elements together as much as I could, knowing that inherently when you do an amalgamation of 2D and 3D, you have to work really hard to make it look right and look good, like make it sort of seamless. And in my experience, a great way to get to that point is by making sure that the 3D elements are layered over and under the 2D ones. So you have like smoke showing up in front of the dragon and smoke behind it, and you have animated sparks and explosions and things physically, like you physically draw the space that exists around the 3D model.
Okay.
And so we have like little chunks and bits of the damage. The damage is like using Blender's sculpting tools. It was basically crafted into the VTOL. And when it takes a hit, those engines are just like in the 3D like program in the 3D space. They are within one frame snapped from about here to like way up here, because at the time I didn't know how to do like a model snap from one to another.
Okay.
So I just like dragged it off of the physical model. I just put another piece in there. So before this VTOL gets shredded, like I think the shredded engines are like way down below the ground and the intact engines move way up. Yeah, it was jankety. It's janky. It's held together with duct tape, but it works.
It works.
So go on one end, come out the other. These are actually recreations of that same explosion effect.
Okay.
That we saw in those missile impacts earlier. And then here's the shot that made me not want to go back and finish this movie. Completely honest, this was made 6 years ago. I didn't know how to draw. This character is warping to a degree that I am physically, viscerally uncomfortable with.
Oh no!
I don't like her eye is way off to one side. You can't really see anything on the other side. That hand is made of spaghetti noodles. There's nothing going on with the other hand. Her body is a tube.
It looks great. I know we are our own worst critics, and that is the example here. But yeah, the storytelling is so good here. Everyone's involved in what's happening, not in the lines there.
But. Well, that's the plan anyway. That's the hope. And then here's like the shot that kind of makes me want to finish it. It's in the same shot. That image is so over the top and so dramatic that you kind of can't help but love it a little bit. This person is. I'm trying to think maybe she has some sort of like intelligence or data or something that the Draconis Combine folks are trying to get their hands on, and that's why they're going after her. Or maybe this dragon just like doesn't see her at all and like isn't even paying any attention. It's just seeing all of the dudes around her trying to save her.
we hope, right? We hope it's not just a very bloodthirsty MechWarrior, but
yeah,
it's just like, and I, when I first watched it, I saw it as she was kind of just caught.
Yeah, know, that was the path sort of what
of this monster, yeah, coming after her.
And then, yeah, like the dragon's shooting at things that are shooting at it, or shooting at like enemy vehicles and things of the sort. She's just sort of caught up in the middle, and people are trying to keep her safe. That is our defining character moment. That it was going to be the thing that would follow this character through the rest of the Revelation story, of trying to find a way to survive, trying to find a way to win throughout the rest of like what's going on, coming to a conclusion that this war has been lost and there's really not anything you can do to affect the outcome. This is sort of like foreshadowing her involvement in the invasion of her planet by Clan Ghost Bear, later on.
Okay.
But she fights anyway. And I think that's the thing that I really liked driving home for this character. This is entirely a symbolic gesture, right? This is a form of protest, essentially. And like that's sort of the thing that I kind of love about Rossalog a little bit, is they're sort of like suicidally brave in a lot of ways. And it's not represented as well as I would have liked in a lot of the existing media. So here it is now.
Awesome.
And then,
yeah,
and then everything changes. And that shot was a lot of fun to make, because we have just a standard get a big heavy walk cycle for that dragon, and I want the viewer to be able to feel the sort of slow unhurried power of this machine, which, yeah, it's not quite what a dragon is supposed to be, but it's close enough for what we needed right here. There's another example of that model swapping. We have a hand carved or a hand sculpted like broken autocannon there, sort of like coming down, and we have like animated fire on top of that. Looks up. That's a pretty. This was, I think, the most fun shot to work on in the film. Because we just have so much going on at once. Boom. Crack. That's the cat probably knocking something over.
On theme.
On cue. Well done, Newton. We have the kids sort of like ducking behind.
And here we go.
And then just ripping it off.
Epic.
Like that. Boom. Welcome to Battletech, mother.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Like that was one of the moments that I absolutely need. Like, it had been sticking in my head for months, and I absolutely needed to just see a hunchback rip an arm off of a dragon with an autocannon and
beat it to death
with its own arm. It's so dumb and it's so great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and here we have more Viking helmets. Yeah, because that's sort of the key. That's what we're going with. That was actually a fun little, like, this jump. Even looking at it now, like the character model's a little bit off, but the motion looks all right. Like,
yeah.
And then this would have been the next fight that would have gone into it had just like time and energy not gotten away from me. Fighting a Jenner, fighting something small and light and sort of runny.
And it's funny, because the last time I fought a Jenner on the tabletop, this is pretty much my experience.
Is this exactly what happened?
It was a recon mission, and the Jenner had the recon, and I put three heavy mechs chasing this guy, and he ran from one end of the thing to the other, and I missed all but one missile shot on him, and I was like, all right, fine, all right, that's how it's gonna go.
Cool.
But yeah, hard to hit.
Yeah. Yeah, take the shot for the Jenner. Like, there's the kid. We took the shot for the Jenner, and now we gotta pay attention to the Jenner. Jenner's doing that classic light mech maneuver of go around them, which does work up until the point where your opponent realizes they can turn the other way.
Yeah,
and we have this like
the tumble.
Someone graduated from like the Gunslinger Academy or something. Like that is someone rolled high or rolled low. And then this actually came from, I kid you not, the commentary for Star Wars Episode One, when they were talking to the visual artists about animating the crashes in the pod race.
Okay.
Saying specifically, when you see a crash in like an actual motorsports race, unless a car like slams straight into a wall, what happens is it'll hit something and then the momentum of the machine itself continues on for a little while, and everything starts like tumbling and flying apart. And so that was really what I was trying to capture here. And say, like, basically, this Jenner, like, it loses a leg, yeah, but, like, most of the damage that actually happens to it is just ground and gravity and momentum. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly a lot of fun just to draw out this thing just, like, falling apart, its legs just being, like, catapulted into the sky. Maybe we would have had, like, some of the missiles misfiring or something, heat sinks exploding, stuff like that.
It's awesome. Well, having studied physics up through my sophomore year of college, I appreciate that that image.
And like, I am a little proud of these next couple of shots with the kid. This one here, mostly because for the framing of it and that sort of impact and turn motion. That felt really weighty, and like that sort of struggle feels like a struggle even now. So that was nice.
Yeah, even on the storyboard, it comes through.
Yeah, yeah. There was like,
and this shot. I don't understand this shot in there where she's looks happy. Like what's going on there?
Yeah, that's probably down to like I didn't add enough details to the shot. This is supposed to be inside the cockpit. Mm-hmm. This is just like a picture that's like tacked up.
Got it. Okay.
Side the thing.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, these two know each other.
Got
which
it.
Immediately cuts to this of, oh, they really know each other.
Yeah. So yeah, I always saw that. I thought she was on the shoulders of the pilot or something. I'm like, what, where's that cut? But yeah, knowing the relationship now between the two, it's all clear.
Yeah. And then we have,
flash forward.
That same character with a newly rebuilt Hunchback, and it's all happening again. Yeah.
History repeats. If you're talking about the episode one documentary, it's Lucas saying.
Yeah. Going back and forth, they rhyme. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Jar Jar is the key.
Jar Jar is he's the emperor behind the scenes. He's the one pulling all the strings.
Definitely. Well, that was awesome, Daniel. I appreciate that walk.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
So I think if I can stop the screen there. We are back, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that is sort of what we had up until the point where basically I had to just stop and focus on making a living, making an income, doing all the things that
the bills, yeah.
Boring adult stuff. Yeah.
I hear you. What to give us a sense of time, and you had kind of mentioned it a couple of times, like how long does it take? Let's say like a 5 second part of that movie. You know, like how much time is invested in for every like 5 seconds or so of a movie like that?
A lot of it, especially with the 3D models, in this case, it required a good deal of investment. Every one of those mechs had to be crafted in Blender, rigged, which was like make the actual skeleton by which you use to like you make the animated puppet for it. So that had to be created correctly. The textures had to be basically generated on the model. And then exported into Photoshop to be painted up and then put back on the model again. And then the whole thing had to be lit. And it was a rather like involved process. Every one of those models was maybe a 40-hour work week at minimum.
Wow.
To yeah. like just to get the thing working. I'm not sure how quick or slowly that actually is as compared to like a professional professional animator. I'm basically self-trained in most of this. So just like getting the mech model is about 40 hours. Getting, say, let's say that shot of the hunchback running up to the dragon, taking that sort of like shoulder hit and then punching it. That sequence, that just that animation itself was, I think, another maybe week and a half on top of a full-time job. Wow. So that's just the getting the frames where they're supposed to be in Blender, right? Then those frames need to be exported and put into Flash, the 2D animation program, at which point you have to draw out all of the effects of the missile trails coming in, the explosions, the laser beams hitting, little sparks and everything, paint up the foreground, paint up the background, do smoke effects, do a sort of like skybox behind everything. That shot, I would say the amount of time that went into it was maybe, I don't know, upwards of 80 to 100 hours. Yeah.
It's beautiful, man. It's why we connected, right? Because I had actually, when I first saw this, I was like, I got to do something with this. And I had never like made a GIF or whatnot on my phone. And I recorded it on my phone on YouTube and then figured out a program, made it into a GIF. And I had it on my phone for a while. And then when I launched Renegade HPG, I was like, oh man, I want to put this up. And then, you know, tagged you in it. And actually Clint had also responded because I had also commented on the inspired choice of music because the music is awesome. You know, I mean, I'm a huge Mass Effect fan. So it's like Mass Effect, Star Wars, and Battletech, you know, are kind of like, and maybe a little Halo, but are kind of those favorite IPs. And so, yeah, it was a perfect combination. But yeah, Clint had kind of, you know, gave it a little thumbs up. So
Wait, Clint saw that?
Yeah, Clint.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no.
No, you got the music. It's good. But yeah, he's one of the little likes on the Instagram.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Awesome. Hi, Clint. Thanks. Wow. Cool.
Cool stuff. But yeah. So yeah, that was awesome. Awesome little sequence there. Well, a lot of time. Well, for those that are watching and enjoying that and clicking on it, you know, do you have a Patreon or something where people can kind of chip in and give you a little substantial thank you on that?
So I will be forthright and very clear. There are a few guys who are trying to do like BattleTech MechWarrior animation and are accepting donations for it. They are existing currently in a legal gray area.
Okay.
Because Topps owns the rights to produce a BattleTech or MechWarrior animated series.
Got it.
So if Topps notices and says you can't do this anymore, you can't do it anymore. Which is why I'm going to say like right now for all of my BattleTech and MechWarrior animated content, it will always be done on my own time and will always be free and will always be provided without accepting donations because it's a thing that I love and I want to keep being able to do it. So like that's that. However, I am a working animator, a working illustrator, a working music composer. So I think we could put like a link to my, there's like the Everything BattleTech website. I've got a page on there with all of the links, a little form to fill out if you want to like get into contact to work on projects. I love drawing giant robots. I love painting giant robots, doing giant robot things. If that's something that you feel like worth supporting, I thank you.
Awesome.
That would be the way to go for that.
Yeah, and then and what is, I'm curious about kind of Tops, you know, on its own. I'd actually reached out to some of the guys because I was interested in maybe, you know, getting some t-shirts and stuff, because, you know, unless you want a t-shirt with a logo on it, there's not a lot of great BattleTech merchandise. You know, and they were basically, you know, like, I need to reach out to Lauren, you know, and it would be quite a process. But what was kind of your experience like in terms of reaching out to Tops? And did you go through Catalyst at all? Or was it just straight through Tops because it was kind of animated? It was the video medium. Yeah, just kind of what was your experience working with them, and kind of, you know, for other people that are out there that are creating and want to do stuff with BattleTech, you know, kind of just understanding what those legal lines are based on your own experience, trying to kind of talk through that process.
Yeah. Well, initially, it was myself, Sean and Darren from the No Guts, No Galaxy. I think they had been in contact with PGI at the point where we were trying to make the original MechWarrior revival sort of like short or series, or however we wanted, however that project was going to pan out. They essentially told me they had talked to Russ at PGI, and Russ kind of like, it seemed like he sort of like gave a sort of, they don't really know. They went out to talk to the folks at Catalyst. They also didn't know, and Catalyst said, you might need to take this all the way to the top. So it was basically, hey Dan, hey Sir Dub, you're gonna have to go and like send an email, which is what I ultimately did to the legal team over at Tops, saying, hey, can we work on this thing? And a couple weeks later, I got a reply from, I think, the head of their legal team, basically saying, thanks for your interest. Unfortunately, we're still like looking at like different ideas for the future of the BattleTech, just like some sort of like generic,
right?
Fairly polite, nothing like mean or slanderous or anything. It's just someone's doing the job. Someone wasn't like willing to part with that, and that's okay. So that's ultimately how we got to it.
Yeah, and I know people, there's comments on the video on Freehead with people saying, hey, can we crowdfund to kind of help you with that? And so just
pains me every time I see it.
It's like the desire is out there. So
Tops
senior legal team, if you're listening, which that's, you know, get on that project, because the fans want it.
Yeah, do the Games Workshop thing. They're doing really well with that right now.
Definitely. Well, we were talking about Sir Dub, and so for people, let's kind of cover that, make sure people know, and we'll touch base on the end too. You know, so, you know, Sir Dub is kind of your user on DeviantArt and ArtStation. Are there any other kind of hubs that people can find other than Instagram too?
Instagram, SoundCloud. I think like I'll give you a link we can put in the video description of that everything BattleTech page that just has all the links to everything.
Yeah.
So I work as an artist. I've been working as an illustrator for the last couple of years, and over the last, specifically this year, I've been able to upgrade all of my like audio sound production equipment and have some really nice like orchestral music samples. So I've been really excited to work on big bombastic orchestral MechWarrior pieces over the last couple of months. So that's sort of been the primary focus of several primary focuses recently. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I haven't found you on SoundCloud yet. I mean, you know, that's a diverse skill set you got there, Daniel. That's awesome. But yeah, I'm familiar with Timothy's kind of redo of the MechWarrior too, and I use that on some of my videos. So I'll kind of check out your stuff. Maybe we'll kind of, I can put it on as the ending for some of the videos here and give some credit. Maybe I can kind of steer some, get some attention.
That'd be great. Thanks. That'd be awesome. Actually, right after putting up Freehead, I fell into a conversation with Tex from the Black Pants Legion.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think one of my tracks is in the second clan's explanation video, where they're talking about the Wolf's Dragoons. There's like this like haunting sort of cello line that shows up. That's me.
Awesome.
And then the latest video that they put out, the history of the Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
All of those black and white images of the first test of like the Mackie breaking out of its like scaffolding and like smashing tanks and like physically standing on a tank and just flexing over it. Like that was so much fun to draw.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tex does amazing work. It was funny when you were, I was thinking about his, the Origins of the Clans and Stuff video when you were talking earlier. We were talking about Ras el Hog and kind of the democratic, entity within the BattleTech universe. And I had mentioned this in one of my, I think my conversation with Robert Charette, and we were chatting, and that video by Tex was the first time it really clicked to me and understood why we would go back to kind of the governmental structure of the inner sphere, and how it was all related to communication and just time to communicate. And it was a real cool kind of revelation for me to be like, oh, I get it now. It's because you look at it and you're like, well, why, how do you descend back to monarchies and whatnot and lineage? But it makes a lot more sense when you can't actually communicate with people, or at least there's a 2-month delay or 3-month delay.
And I think even in BattleTech canon, I think it's either like the president or the prime minister of the Free Ras el Hog Republic was like at the time of the clan invasion trying to like maneuver his way into like having legislation to make him president for life. So of course that was going to be its own thing. it makes sense. It's hard to hold elections when billions of people can't talk to each other immediately.
Yeah, or just responding to things on responding to things on a different country are hard enough, much less a different, planet or a series of planets.
You'd end up with like an Imperium of Man from 40K solution where a planet gets invaded and maybe 200 years later you might get a response decided by some subcommittee that is about 500, like 50 years too late. It's like, okay, great.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm curious, one of the things in your videos, and I love the balance that you get stylistically in terms of, how the mechs move and kind of, for some of them talked about, and I've talked to kind of Blaine a little bit when I was in his conversation about kind of how mechs move and how kind of in a lot of the Dark Age kind of novels, they were almost acrobatic, and kind of coming back to that mechanical. But
I specifically remember a spider doing a handstand, and it was amazing.
That's what he was alluding to. And so for you, kind of as an animator, I really like the balance that, because just keeping it just kind of like just clunky is kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of balance of a little bit of extra human motion to it, and kind of, for you, and kind of, what kind of led you to kind of that decision and kind of settling on where you did with how you're animating these.
I'm actually, that's a really exciting thing to talk about, because specifically, responding to the sort of critiques that I got from the revival trailer of the mechs sort of like moving too fast and like they're like snapping between poses a little bit too quickly, that one dictated my desire to translate the machines from a strictly 2D format to a 3D format so that I would be able to depict larger, slower movements with a little bit more fidelity, because in the original MechWarrior Revival video, basically it came down to how many frames am I physically able to draw in order to like get a mech to move in a certain way. Ultimately that ended up giving a lot of the motions a sort of, especially when they're trying to like move in a 3D space and like rotating, they move, like they snap between poses a little bit more quickly than I would have liked. Moving to 3D gave me a little bit more leeway to give the machines the expression that I sort of wanted. And the fundamental inspiration or like movement source that I went to for battle mechs actually isn't robotic movements, and it isn't people. It's kaiju. It's like monsters, right?
Yeah.
It is, because the idea is you have a 3-4 story building that is full of artificial muscles. Artificial muscles, I'm guessing, are going to move in a little bit more of a naturalistic way than you would see with just straight, strict actuators.
Right.
Which gives you the ability to get motion that's a little bit more naturalistic, a little bit more like smooth, and sort of like alive and reactive. But at the same time, these things aren't human. And I wanted to drive that point home to the viewers of you're not piloting a vehicle. You are kind of sort of directing a giant angry god to go maybe shoot that thing over there, right? Because that's like that's one of the big things of the BattleTech universe, especially of like the 3015 sort of era, is these are giant ancient machines. And I definitely view them as like, especially in that period of storytelling, as these things are old and they are grand and they're so much bigger than any of the people that are piloting them, right? And like if you bite it, they're just gonna wash you out of the cockpit and replace you with the next kid in your royal line, right?
Yeah.
So like that's that giant monsters with armor plates and laser guns. That's the sort of image that I want to go to in any sort of future work that I work on for that setting.
Now, has this brought any direct collaboration with either Prana or Catalyst Game Labs? You know, have they reached out to you? Have you done any work other than text talks?
Basically none whatsoever.
All right, however, we gotta change that.
Yeah. I'm absolutely free and open. I'd love to work on any sort of, man, if I could have my name attached to like any sort of official BattleTech stuff, that would be super cool. But at the moment, no. However, the animation techniques that went into making Freehead actually were later used in the second episode of an original animated series on YouTube called Song in the Sky by a Samuel Friedrich. It's about a fighter pilot who has to battle both the psychological scars of her post-traumatic stress disorder and gigantic eldritch monstrosities that are trying to destroy her city, which is floating in the sky. There's no ground underneath, and we have no idea what's going to happen when we fall, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So, like, saw the first episode of that, and I was blown away by it. And then immediately saw that the guy who had made it was saying, yeah, I know like the visuals are sort of rudimentary here. If we could, like, I'm looking to put together a team of artists to do all these things. If you're interested, email me. And I like immediately typed up a thing. And the next day I got a response from the guy saying, yeah, I would love to have you as the mechanical designer in this thing. And we ended up like recreating the entire fighter plane in 3D and like making dynamic 3D motions for this like elaborate dogfight scene for the next episode, which hopefully is going to be out soon. The last time I heard, it was in like final editing and like sound design and music scoring and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get it out. The world's on fire, so we'll see how that all goes. But that was used techniques directly lifted from working on Freehead. So it was really nice to be able to take those skills and move them forward.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned revival a lot, and I found the MechWarrior Origins video as well. Was that purely yours as well? Was that, I assume that was before revival, or kind of where was that in time?
That was.
And so that, I believe it was, is it on your ArtStation page?
I think it's on the YouTube page, and it's like one of the top things that shows up if you look up MechWarrior Online on the Steam store.
Okay.
Like one of those top like community posts. That was quite literally, I saw the news of PGI is planning to take MechWarrior Online to Steam. Lots of new people are going to be moving, like going to like be coming into to this game from Steam. And like MechWarrior Online is a 3D arena shooter. There's not like a super great amount of lore there. And this is a very big, very rich universe. And I wanted to be able to make a short introduction for people, like a starting point. This is what you can go to. Like, this is what BattleTech is. This is everything you need to be caught up to this point in the timeline when the game launches on Steam. So I wrote out the script, did all the illustrations for it. This was before I was able to score my own stuff really well. So I found a composer on Newgrounds and asked him if I could use his stuff. That was great. And then like talked to George Ledoux and had George Ledoux just like read over this thing. And we have what we have now. That was a lot of fun to work on and really rewarding to see. Like even now I'm getting like little pings in the comments saying, this is the thing that I'm using to introduce people to this universe. I'm like, oh, that's what it was for.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. And cool. if you notice like the last shot of that one is very similar to the last shot of Free Hit, of like, there's the pilot, there's the hunchback, there's the meteors.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme.
And so in the revival one, is the hunchback pilot the little girl?
It's supposed to be, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Going over the hill, taking out the mad cats. <There you go. laughs> That's like Kai Allard Leo style right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we should supposed to have like I was gonna throw her in with like a couple of mercenaries who are also on the planet, and like a disgraced Steiner general who is like sent out here as this like backwater thing, and they'll have to work together to try to fight off Clan Ghost Bear.
Oh yeah. Man,
Wolverine, something like that.
All right, we need to get the people at Tops on board with something over here. We got to see this in action. Sounds amazing.
Well, we'll probably like send an email. Well, like the reply will be like, "You dare refuse my bachar?"
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Nikolai Malthus in a suit disapproves.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. We had talked about kind of the commission and taking money for the video stuff. Is there a legal gray area for taking just commissions of just kind of drawing illustrations of bottle mix and stuff like that? Is that something that you can do?
That one you're much more like able to move on with and like move out with, particularly because you are providing a specific piece, a specific service to a specific client.
Okay.
So like if someone is going, I can't draw a mad cat that someone then prints on a shirt and they sell the shirt, but I can draw a mad cat for someone to like print out and put up on their wall.
Right.
Like that's as far as I've been able to tell. And this was confirmed by Shimmering Sword a couple of years ago. Basically, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're able to take money using this universe as the basis to like create images for people, and a lot of it is like very customized and very specific things.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I think I'll probably be all right with saying like one of the images I'm working on right now is a Wolverine who is like taking some clan mech and like bending it backwards, and we have like this cutaway shot of the pilot like screaming in German, "I'm making the pretzels." Like, you're not gonna see that from like one of the standard source books. So
right,
it's sort of, yeah,
awesome,
a customized
And then I assume I kind of get the idea for the answer, but for selling prints, I assume that does that kind of cross that line where if you had a piece of artwork, you know, would you be like, let's say I'm going to use for the thumbnail of this, I'm going to use your picture of the hunchback with the asteroids kind of falling back. You know, if something like that, you know, is that something that you would be able to sell as prints, you know, as your own creation, as a specific scene, or is there limitations there too?
I actually don't know, haven't looked into it, but one of the other artists that worked on the Mackie video Eidolon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
He's currently selling prints, and I haven't heard any sort of like legal hammers falling down on him so far. So we'll see. I can look into it.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been putting Eldon's stuff up on the page, and I'd reached out to him to see if he could help get you know, some art for Renegade HPG, because I don't have anything official right now. But I'll reach out to him. I'll ask him, and we'll you know, if the answer is no, we'll conveniently clip this little part out of the video that we put out there. But that's good that people can commission it. And I'll definitely get some information from you and put it in the description, and so kind of people that kind of, you know, see the work you've done, interested in doing that, and kind of get some. I gotta imagine, you know, I mean, I work in youth athletics in a nonprofit, or at least I have been. I'm kind of looking, you know, for other entrepreneurial, you know, avenues. But there are some things that are services very valuable to community that aren't valuable for paying bills. And so I'm kind of, art is one of them. And so,
yeah,
you know,
specifically too, because for the last couple of years, I've worked at an advertising agency up here in Minnesota. In March, they put everyone on furlough. And in June, I got the call saying, hey, there's basically not an art department here anymore.
Oh my goodness.
And I've been trying to find work ever since. So
Awesome.
We'll figure it out.
Well, everyone listening, you've seen Daniel's work. It's gorgeous, amazing. If you want a custom to put on your wall, like he's a, you know, he's COVID available for now, as many of us are, because I can tell you I'm not coaching athletes right now.
Yeah.
but yeah. Well, what's, are there any other kind of, you know, ideas or projects that you kind of have, you know, bouncing around in that head, you know?
Yeah, actually, I'm about 2/3 of the way through an animatic, like another MechWarrior animatic. And it's going to be a little bit more involved than the sort of like freehand storyboards that you saw, okay. But it's not going to be like to the degree of finish that the actual film was. So it's going to be like something in between, just for like the sake of being able to finish it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm actually working on essentially sort of a short heist movie featuring a series of mercenaries with giant robots going up against a Clan Smoke Jaguar.
Oh, awesome.
Your job, should you choose to accept it, is get into this base, knock out these like anti-aircraft guns, and just doing something like very kinetic and very visceral and very fun. Like, just like it's gonna be a big departure from Freehead, which is very somber, very sad. This is just like kind of silly, and absolutely 100% dunking on clanners, which is just that's what you got to do. Awesome. Yeah, we'll be seeing lots of the Locust being able to do the things that the Locust is able to do.
Yeah. Last night I got on a bench because I wanted to make sure all your videos were fresh in my mind. I was looking through, and then I was like, I got to start making cards of this, because I've been doing little customs of the trading card game.
Oh, really?
Like, plugging in art, and I was like, oh, I can just start screenshotting all these, you know, those pictures and plug them in, and they look great. Here, give me a sec. I'll share some screen. Let me show you some of the ones I kind of came up with. People can.
All right.
Let's see. All right, the first one was the Hunchback, which I'd actually done some time ago. Let's find it. There we go. You seen that one?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that was the first custom I did with your art, and then last night I did the Locust and Rifleman. So let's kind of bunch through. There we go. I got the three locusts going on.
Run.
And then what was the next one? The Rifleman. So let's kind of scoot through. And there's surprisingly not a ton of great Rifleman art. And so when I saw this, I was like, yes, I can finally get the 5M Rifleman card I've been trying to do.
I'm wondering if I should maybe... Grab the screen from you and pull up a little sneak peek of the thing that I'm working on right now. Because awesome. We have Riflemen's in there too.
Oh, cool. We'll do it. I'll reach out to you and you know, anytime you got a nice screenshot of a mech. Let's see. And then I had a couple. Let's see. I had some non-mech cards that were just this one I pulled in. I love this art. It's perfect for it. Yeah, that shot.
Oh, the, perfect.
The locust slipping in. Oh,
yeah, sweet. Fantastic. I love it.
And then I think there is one more that I actually shared on the BattleTech CCG Facebook page last night, which I haven't actually worked out exactly what I want the card to say yet. But it was, whoops, too far. Yeah, people can get a sneak peek at my entire catalog here if they slow down the video. But yeah, I'd kind of pulled this one.
Oh, fantastic.
And I have another one with a little bit more color in it. The same battle with a little bit of the green kind of going between that looks sharp that I was going to use for a card called Zelbriggan, which is somehow not in the didn't make it into the old CCG. So, you know, we'll see. That's to be revealed.
I think I have sent over a GIF of one of the works in progress.
All right, let's see. The Speaking of the animations, the king crab that's turning and doing the double AC shot, was that the what was in place of the dragon for destroying that building? Is that what that
was? Yeah, that was like another sort of test shot to see if we could pull off this sort of like composite animation style.
Cool. All right, I think I got it. Okay. All right, there we go. All right, are we seeing it?
Perfect.
All right, so this is right in the middle of it. Huh. And then we start again. Okay, that's the beginning.
That's the dude. Come on.
Nice.
Yeah. So
loving it.
We'll figure out some fun ways to destroy riflemen and dunk on clanners. It's a good time.
Awesome. Good stuff's coming. You know, people can stay tuned.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a ton of fun, Daniel. I went into athletics and nonprofit management after kind of pursuing physics for a little while in college. But deep in my heart, graphic design and was the one that kind of got away, the love that got away. And so, I love kind of, I really appreciate kind of the work, that you and others do to kind of, just to bring these things to life, for us. And, you talked about the somber tone of Freehead, and I loved it. I mean, I went through the Mass Effect arc and the massive time investment of Mass Effect and what Mass Effect 3 was up until the last 20 minutes and that emotional arc. And so just to combine that emotion, that residual emotion, your piece is awesome. So, somber is good. It's like, once we get this new one out, don't be afraid to go back, because your storytelling was truly inspired. It was awesome. I can still watch it, and I like it as much as the first time, these days. So
thank you.
That's good. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But awesome. Like, let's tell people how to kind of connect with you. And so we kind of mentioned it all through, but like right now, let's, all the places, Instagram, RC Demon Art, put it out there for people.
Let's see. I can pull up.
And we will put that link down below.
Yeah, that basically
for everything. But if I will eventually start putting these up as an audio podcast. So, for those people, let's go through. It's Sir Dub Dub on DeviantArt, Art Station, Instagram. It's DC Bruins, D.C. Bruins for YouTube channel. And then, did I miss any? Oh, SoundCloud. Where are you? Is it Sir Dub Dub on SoundCloud?
I think it. Oh, yeah. Someone beat me to it. It is Sir Dub Dub -1.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, but essentially, like, if you look up Sir, like the Knight, D U B, like sub versus dubs for anime, Sir Dub Dub. That's what you find. Like Google that essentially, and you'll be able to pull up basically a whole sort of like interconnected network of separate things that should eventually lead you to something interesting, hopefully.
Very cool. Well, yeah, so connect with Daniel there and connect with Renegade HPG, obviously on YouTube, but it's at Renegade HPG on Instagram and then Facebook. You got to search for it. I said this in my last one. For some reason, they won't let me get the hot link for Facebook at Renegade HPG. They keep saying that the word, there's something wrong with the word, is not allowed. So I don't know, something with the auto. Check on that is weird, right. Find Renegade HPG there. Once you get that new stuff out, I'd love to do this again. I had a ton of fun here, Daniel. Yeah. Maybe we can connect and we can do another if people like that director's commentary as much as I did and they want to do it for the MechWarrior revival. Maybe we can reconnect and kind of put another video out there. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and sign off there. Thanks, Daniel. And right. Thanks everyone for listening here.
Thanks, guys.
Cool.